Hace Inglés presenta Into the Story, el podcast para aprender inglés con historias reales contadas por gente de todo el mundo. The year that some people take to travel after high school before starting university or work is often a very transformative experience. And for our storyteller today, Connor, who had been trying to live a life that he felt society expected of him, a year traveling allowed him to find his true self and come out as a gay person.
It was so interesting because I learned so much from those people about, you know, why they're traveling, where they're from, what their like way of life is like.
This week, we hear Connor's story about how a year living in Australia allowed him to truly open up, embrace his identity, and fall in love for the first time. We'll hear about the moment he arrived in downtown Sydney without a real plan, and the moment he met his boyfriend's mum for the first time, only minutes after she'd attacked a snake in the back garden. We're calling this story Backpacks, Bars, and Being Who You Want to Be. Before we begin listening, let's talk about some of the vocabulary and expressions you'll hear Connor say. Number one, to fit into a mold. To fit into a mold is an expression we use to describe being the same as or matching something or someone. You'll hear Connor talk about not fitting into the mold in his community in Canada. Next, to cram into. To cram into is a phrasal verb that describes trying to put a lot of things into a very small space or container with force. For example, you can cram people into a bar, or you can cram new vocabulary into your head. Cram into. Debauchery, or el desenfreno, is a word to describe a lifestyle with lots of parties. Connor describes his life living with other travelers as being filled with debauchery. To fizzle out. Another very graphic phrasal verb that you'll hear Connor say. To fizzle out means to gradually fail in a bit of a disappointing way or to finish weakly. For example, you can say that a relationship fizzled out. And lastly, to teach the ropes. This expression means to show someone how to do an activity. For example, on your first day of a new job, someone will usually need to explain how things work in that workplace and show you the ropes. If you need more help with understanding Connor's story, remember for each episode, you can get a full vocabulary list and listening comprehension activities on our website, acinglés.com. That's la letra A, letra C, inglés.com. Okay, let's get into the story.
We lived in a town outside of Calgary, but closer to the Rocky Mountains. So it was sort of expected that if you were male, that you would, you know, be on the football team. And that gave you a lot of like status and popularity and that kind of thing. And I just never really, even though I attempted, I never really fit into that mold. I thought that there wasn't really a place for me there. So it was a time of confusion and probably triggered depression and anxiety that I've kind of lived with since. Well, but I think it really started earlier on, like in elementary school, with the with kind of living with this secret of being gay and sort of avoiding it and trying to push it down or not face them. So there was kind of this secret that I was always living with, which was very toxic. Saved up enough money, I think it was $1,500 for a round trip airline ticket to Sydney, and to my parents' dismay, I was going. Landing in Sydney, I took the metro into like central Sydney and literally checked into the first hostel that I saw. So, I remember going up to the room. I think it was on like the 10th floor and opening the door. And there was like everyone was sitting on their bed, like it was bunk beds. And I kind of found my bed and put my backpack down there. And then, of course, didn't really know what to do next. My original plan was to actually go up the east coast of Australia, but I kind of knew, and that was the official story that I told my parents, but I knew that I wanted to stay in a big city where there was progressive community. Like I was looking for my people kind of. So kind of settled in. The hostel was getting pretty expensive. So I had to find something a bit cheaper. So I was told about share houses. A Scottish traveler had said, "Oh, I'm going to move into this share house and you should check it out. It was in Pyrmont, which is across the Darling Harbour." And it was quite a big house. It was like a mansion, like an old mansion. But I would be living with 30 to 40 other travelers, and it was like maybe a 10-room home, but it had like bunk beds in the room. So yeah, they just kind of crammed everybody in there, and it was an experience. Like, and it had a pool in the back, but it was freezing cold water. And then we would play these crazy games at night. Like, it was a lot of drinking and debauchery and that kind of thing, and just a bunch of backpackers from all over the world. I think there was British, and like there was English, Scottish, Welsh, French, Spanish, Canadians, Americans, South Americans, everyone around the globe kind of. So it was so interesting because I learned so much from those people about, you know, why they're traveling, where they're from, what their like way of life is like, why they chose Australia. So I learned a ton from living there and meeting those people. After a month, I had enough. It was time to look for something more permanent. I ended up going to this bar, Stonewall Hotel. It's a very well-known gay bar in Sydney. And so the first night I was there, I met this girl who was sort of like glaring at me from the, you know, like giving me the stink eye from the other side of the bar. And we ended up kind of sitting and talking. After the first time I met Jess, she invited me to coffee, and we went for coffee, and she said, "Hey, like, I know you're here living in a shared accommodation, and that you said that it was pretty hard. So why don't you come in and stay with me? You can sleep on my couch." I was thrilled and delighted that she offered. And then that really started a like lifelong friendship. She was giving me kind of the support and guidance that I needed. I could talk about life kind of every single day after work and what she was going through and I was going through. We had similar kind of childhoods in a lot of ways. Like they were different in a lot of ways, but sort of the struggles at school and not fitting in. I would help her and give her advice on like her relationships because she was also gay. We would meet at the Newtown Hotel every day after work for a few pints. And that was a gay bar. And so, you know, she taught me the ropes of how to live in a gay world. Me and her had gone out one night to Stonewall, and I had met Matt. So I'd seen Matt out quite a bit. And I had a huge crush on him, and he was sort of like the life of the party, and he seemed to be very popular among groups, but he was also just very nice. Like, he would come and always introduce himself and say hi. And I think one night I just went up to him and said, "I really like you. I want to ask you out on a date," or I like asked him out on a date. He said yes. And so I think the weekend after, we went out for pizza, and that kind of started my first relationship and my first time I fell in love. We had only been dating a couple months, and he wanted to bring me back to his hometown to meet his mom. The day that I got there, his mom had killed a snake with a shovel. She's like, "All right, killed it. Like, come out, I'll show you." And so it was really nice to meet his family. They were very funny and sweet, and they, you know, would cook us, you know, big meals. And it was just like this fairy tale kind of romance that we had. And he was, you know, very similar to me, but also very different. So we were together for about 6 months until I decided that I was going to go back to Canada. My parents were putting a bit of pressure to come home and finish university. So I decided that I was going to go back, and Matt wasn't too happy about that. And it ended up just kind of fizzling out because, I mean, he couldn't come to Canada, so there wasn't really a future for us. So we ended up, it kind of ended badly, but we're still friends now. Like, we still talk now once in a while, but at the time it was sad because, you know, he was my first love. And yeah, we lived together at the time and spent all of our time together, so it definitely was hard, but I had to come home. And I was really worried and scared of coming home because I had lived this lifestyle of being out as a gay person for a year, where I felt, you know, like I changed the way I dressed and how I styled my hair and the way that I talked, and everything had kind of changed, and it reflected more of who I was as a person. Like, my outside personality was now sort of more in line with my inner self or my true self. I built up enough courage to, you know, let my parents know, and I think I told my brother Brendan first, that because he was sort of the one that I was most worried about, but he was so accepting. That year really added to my character and to my story as trying to figure out who I am and where, you know, where I fit in, and being open-minded and accepting of who I am and who others are, and being grateful for the people and the things that I have in my life.
That's all for today. Si te ha gustado la historia de Connor y quieres seguir escuchando más episodios de nuestro podcast, puedes visitar nuestra página web, haceingles.com, donde tendrás todos los episodios de Into the Story. También encontrarás algunas actividades de cada episodio para ayudarte a mejorar tu inglés. Thank you for listening. Until next time, we hope you have a good time, or at least a good story to tell.